You are listening to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu, 102.3 FM. And this is a little bit of special programming here in the late time prime time as we have a joint conversation between two clubs here on campus on the topic of gun violence. And for more information, I'll throw it over to the host of this evening's conversation.
Hi, my name is Kennedy Lucian. I am a member of the Black Student Union here at Dominican University. I have with me here the president and vice president of Black Student Union, along with two representatives of Latinos Unidos. So today we're going to be talking about the issue of gun violence. It's been something that's been very prevalent in the United States, and God just put it on my heart to speak about it and give our opinions on it. So without further ado, let's get started. So the first question that I have for you all is, how do you feel about the gun violence and the school shootings that have occurred recently?
I guess I'll open it up by saying I'm Deja, vice president of BSU. I feel like it's horrible. It shouldn't happen, and I feel like with gun control, they wouldn't be happening as frequently as they are.
Hello, I'm Xavier, president of BSU. And I guess to begin with, I won't go too in-depth with the answer because I'm sure there are a lot of questions that we'll be following up with. But I can say that my general feelings towards the climate on these schools, on campuses nationwide is a sense of unease and the sense of not being safe. I know I'm not the only one. I've heard from several students of feeling that their place of education and this place of refuge has kind of been taken away from them. And now the thought that creeps in the back of their mind is today a possible day that I can be the one. I can be the next victim because there's so many of these tragedies happening across the country. And it's very sad, something that needs to be fixed.
Hi, I'm Gabby. And I'm Laura, and we're from Latinos Unidos. And my opinion on what's happening with gun violence is, I think it's crazy of the amount of shootings that happen here in America. And I think personally for me, when it really hit me was when that shooting happened over in Florida, my friend comes up to me and says, "Hey, did you hear about that shooting?" And I said, "I'm sorry to say this, but which one?" And that really impacted me in such a big way. And I think going off of that, a lot of times when these shootings happen, what people say is, it's not supposed to happen here. You know, and that's what people say when it happens. But the point is, it's not supposed to happen here at all.
My opinion on the subject is that it's tragic what's happening in the United States, across the United States. And a lot of students consider school to be their safe haven, but it's sad that that's being stripped away from a lot of students across the United States.
I agree with that statement. Students should not be going, they shouldn't be afraid to go to school. They shouldn't be afraid that the next time they walk into their classroom or the next time they're on their lunch break, that their life will possibly come to an end. And that's something that needs to change here in the United States. The next question that I have for you guys is, how do you think this has impacted you guys as a minority?
Well, as a minority, I think we can all relate in the sense that you're almost playing by a different set of rules in this game that we call life. There's certain things that may be afforded to other people that you can just not afford to do. For instance, I mean, you can't wear a certain type of clothing or be in a certain area at a certain time because this image of, you know, predators and violent people has been propagated about you, so that everybody subconsciously thinks you're something that that you're not. So, I mean, for me personally, I think it's definitely something that I'm very aware of and something that I'm afraid of, because not only gun violence isn't only with the school shootings, although it is a very big part. Something that I also think about is police killings, you know, because I think that's something that's also very closely tied and something that needs to be reexamined and looked at. I'm sure you guys can agree and have more to say about stuff.
I almost feel like it's kind of like a double whammy. Like, it's like, am I going to get pulled over and get shot? Am I going to go to school and get shot? It's scary living not knowing what's going to happen when. And like she said, you never know when or where it's going to happen. You never think it's going to happen to you, though, or happen in your area. And I feel like, I don't know, it's either like you live in fear and watch your back all the time, or you live regularly and then get hit unexpectedly. It's kind of sad. But I guess you just have to live hoping for the best and preparing for the worst, and that's bad to say. You should never have to prepare for school shooting or, like Xavier brought up, police brutality, like just living your everyday life, but it's the world we live in, and it's sad.
Personally, I haven't been as impacted by these shootings because I don't know. To be honest, it's probably because my skin is lighter and a lot of people don't think I'm Latina, but I have heard stories across the United States about police officers pulling over Latinos, sending them back over the border, and oftentimes they do have darker skin than I do. I always have like the thought in the back of my mind, like, is my family okay? And it's heartbreaking, and I feel like that goes for all minority groups. That goes for everyone. I mean, they always have that constant worry for their family. Is my family okay? Is my family being sent back? Like, they have their life over here. It's not over there. And I don't know, people just, it's heartbreaking to me. It's heartbreaking.
I think going off of that, thinking about it as a minority, I think what's important to think about is if you look at these shooters, most of them are white. And what scares me is to think, like, what if it was a minority? Because I feel like the media would depict them in such a negative way and not excuse it as a mental issue or because they were bullied, but rather because they would put it as a stereotypical thing because they're violent or because they are a minority. And it's sad to think that we still live in a society that thinks that way and depicts our own people who live in America that way. And it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be looked at.
I think kind of going off that, there's just an interesting stat that I pulled up. It says that black men are 13 times more likely than white men to be shot and killed with guns. And I think it kind of goes off the point that a lot of us have mentioned before, about just being aware that, you know, you are living by a different set of rules and you're constantly being made aware of that. And it's something that, personally, you know, my friends have nearly been victims of gun violence. If they hadn't been saved through the sport of basketball, they, you know, I specifically can recall one night going to a practice and a teammate was kind of sad that he wasn't able to go to the party, but by him not going, his life was saved because the car that he was supposed to ride in, two people were shot and killed in that car. You know, it's something that's is very real, and something that hits home. Is just like, you never know when somebody, like somebody that you care about or even yourself, can be next.
I think you brought up a good point by saying that the way that they're depicted in the media, the people that are doing these shootings, that they kind of get written off, or they get an excuse, they get, you know, pretty much, I don't, this is gonna sound bad, but like babied in the media. But then if it's, you know, a minority that is coming up for anything, whether it be like police brutality, they don't ever bring up who they really are. They depict them the way they want to, and the way that society expects them to. And I think that's also really bad, that, you know, somebody could do such a heinous thing and still be excused, or they get their, you know, high school senior portrait shown in the media, but then, like, you know, if it's somebody else, their mugshot gets shown or something like that. It's like, it's a pretty, I don't know, complicated, there's a lot that, like, goes into it that I think goes over a lot of people's heads. I think us being in college, we're kind of, like, privileged to get to learn about it and learn the depth of it that a lot of people probably just graze over usually. But I think that is a really good point to bring up and think about when these things happen.
And going back to the subject of police brutality, it's a really scary thing. I remember my brother and I driving to church one day, and we were late, and we were speeding, and we got pulled over by a cop. And I was terrified. I didn't know if I was going to lose my brother that day, because he fits the description, quote unquote. And I was very terrified. I did not know what was going to happen. I didn't want to lose my brother that day, especially going to church that day. And instead of going to church, I would have lost my brother. I don't ever want to be afraid of something like that. I shouldn't have to be afraid of something like that. So it's definitely a very serious issue that's been happening. The next question is, if you could do something about this situation, what would you do? Who would you contact, and what would you say to them?
I mean, I think it starts in the policy, honestly. Making it a little bit more difficult to get a gun, I definitely think it's too easy to just walk in there, apply for your gun license, and then, you know, keep it for a couple days, and then, oh, here's your gun. Also, the kind of guns that people purchase, you know, I know some people, oh, we use it for hunting. Like, I don't know why you need an assault rifle under your bed, but I just don't think it's necessary. I think it should be a way more extensive process, and there should also be a psych eval to go with that, because if you're not mentally stable, which they don't look at, I don't think, there's no way you should be allowed to have a gun. Just some way to make that a little bit more complicated, and if people are going to have access to guns, the kind of guns that they have, I don't know everything about guns, but I think it shouldn't be so easy. And then also thinking about that, not just like civilians having guns, but even like people that are like police or in the military that have guns, because that would also be really bad to have them be the only ones with weapons and control over society. It's really complicated. It gets really complicated, but I think definitely if there was a psych eval to go along with you wanting a gun, then that would veto a lot of people from being able to have access to these things.
I definitely think that police should get more training when it comes to handling a gun, because lately I've been feeling with all the shootings that's been happening, the police see a threat and they automatically shoot. Like, I haven't heard of a case where they've used warning shots or like a taser gun or anything like that. It seems like they go straight to using their guns and shooting people multiple times, not just one, but 15 to 20 times. And it kind of seems as though they're scared of the threat. And I feel like they should be trained to be able to, what's the word I'm looking for? Be able to, yeah, de-escalate the situation before they resort to such a drastic measure.
I've heard that they're trained when they shoot to kill. Like, if there is a threat that they don't, that's like they're automatic. They don't think, oh, let me, you know, disable them a little bit. Like, they shoot them to kill. But I do think that's a big point. You can't give a, you know, a scary person or somebody with prejudice or that thinks that this person that looks this kind of way is a threat and I'm going to kill them because I'm scared, you know? I think they're a little too quick to, you know, reach for the gun and let me take down this person. And exactly. Then the part that sucks about that is that most of the time they get off. You know, it's hard to be punished by the law when you are the law. And that sucks.
I think what a lot of people know but don't take advantage of is their right to vote. And especially here in California, I get it. Like, for the presidential election, a lot of times our vote doesn't count because of our state. It's pretty big. But you still are able to vote for your local representatives and to call in and to write letters. And I feel like we should be able to take advantage of it because if you look at it, we are the change that we want to be. And also, I remember hearing, like, it's not the gun, it's the person who pulls the trigger. And that's true. But I think that's another reason why there should be more psych evals and looking into their mental background. And it shouldn't be easy for an underage teen to be able to buy a gun. And with that, I believe not only contacting your local representatives, but educating your fellow peers and your family about what's really going on. And it shouldn't be something as numb as, like, oh, looking on the news and saying, oh, there's another shooting. People have a right to make that change, and it starts with you.
Yeah. Going off of Gabby's statement, two things. I agree. We need to run more background checks when it comes to purchasing guns and everything. Also, I feel like police officers need to be trained more for these situations of high stress, high emotions, because oftentimes, yes, they do automatically go to the gun and pull the trigger, but there are multiple other ways to go through that situation. I just feel like they should be trained for those kinds of situations.
I think all of you guys brought up good points. I think one thing I'll add to that, and it applies to both kind of dealing with police officers and gun owners in general. There's a book that I just finished reading. It was called Whistling Vivaldi, and it dealt with stereotypes and what we can do to fix them. And in the book, they kind of talk about this thing known as a stereotype threat. And a stereotype threat is, let's see, I have the definition right here. It's a situational predicament in which individuals are at risk of confirming negative stereotypes about their group. It is the resulting sense that one might be judged in terms of negative stereotypes about one's group instead of on personal merit. So, kind of talking about that, I think as a culture, we've kind of failed in the sense that there's a bunch of stereotype threats, and a lot of those go unchecked because a lot of them are things that we think about subconsciously. It's not overt racism. It's things that, you know, for example, if a black man was to walk on the street, a couple might cross the other way or move to the side because they feel threatened. Now, in that situation, it might not feel as threatening, but the black man in the situation may feel like he has to prove himself to get rid of that negative stereotype. Now, if we switch that into a situation where a police officer is involved, they might be quicker to react, to grab the gun and fire some fatal shots that could cost this man his life, unfortunately. Whereas if there was somebody else in another situation, the one that sticks out to me is the South Carolina shooting with Mr. Roof. I find it crazy how he could go off and commit all those heinous acts and still get brought in, still get detained, all that stuff, handcuffs and all, when there were countless other people that were not afforded that same opportunity. Unfortunately, probably because subconsciously the police officers felt that their life was threatened because of the way somebody looked.
I definitely agree with that. The next question that I have for you guys is, if you could directly talk to a police commissioner or police superintendent, what comments or suggestions would you give to them?
Actually, what's really interesting is I usually go to leadership camps and a lot of leadership conferences every year, and one of the ones I went to, we always have a diversity workshop, and in one of them, one of the group leaders, he's this very cool guy, very loved, and we did this one exercise where he showed us a picture of a police hat, and within our group, it was a diverse group of people coming from different backgrounds, and he asked us to speak about what were the first thoughts that came into mind when we saw this police hat. And we went around in a circle, and a lot of them talked about the first thing that came up was being corrupted, crooked, prejudice, or some of them talked about protecting the law, justice. And it's crazy because some of them are like, well, my dad's a cop, or my family members are. And then on the other side, there are some people who said, well, my family got taken away because of cops. And it was interesting because as we all talked about this, in the end, our group leader revealed that he was a cop himself, and we didn't know that at all. And we were all just flabbergasted and shocked, and at the same time, it really proved to me that this guy, who's a good guy, and is leading these group of kids to be the leaders for the future, out of all these negative comments, he wasn't any of those things. And what he told us was, you know, after hearing what we had said, it made him want to be a cop even more because he wants to rise against it. And realizing that made me have some hope that the police may change. Because like I said, the change starts with you. And the more people that'll join, because the strength is within numbers, and maybe we can change the whole system, but it'll take time.
Some suggestions I would give would be, once again, training officers for these kinds of situations. And I'm not entirely sure, but I'm pretty sure the age to buy a gun is 18, and I think we should up that to 21 or whatever age, you know, for us to be more mature and handle guns properly.
I don't know. I feel like after so long, after a few years of like seeing everything that's happened with police in the media, it's hard to look at a cop and take him at face value that, oh, your job is to, you know, protect and serve. Because I don't feel that way a lot of the time, and you can never know by looking at a cop like, oh, you're a good cop or you're a bad cop. You know, I think a lot of them just get that like primitive instinct, like, oh, it's you or me, and it's not gonna be me. So, you know, but I don't know what I would say, really. I guess I would just have a lot of questions. I don't know, it's kind of like, how do they get around like being able to just do whatever they want? Because I think for some cops, like, once they realize, oh, well, I'm probably gonna get off for this, like, there's no stopping them. You know, they get to go home to their families. Meanwhile, somebody's missing a part of their family, you know? And I think, I don't know, it's just difficult. I don't know what I would ask or suggest. I guess suggest that people have more training, maybe more like pressure tests or something. Assess their prejudice and their bias, because I don't feel like somebody that's racist or, you know, should be a cop. I just don't. I know somebody, and one of their parents is a cop, and they're pretty conservative. Nothing against conservative people. I mean, you have your own views, but I've heard them say, like, oh, you know, if you see, you know, a guy dressed like this, that looks like this, like, you just know they're bad news. And I was just like, well, how do you know that, though? Like, just like how I don't know if you're a good cop or a bad cop, how do you know that about this person? How do you know you didn't just catch them at a bad time on a rough day? Like, you know, I don't know. Just, but I think, yeah, a test of prejudice and racism, pressure test. Like, how do you work under pressure? Because I feel like if it's only a drill and something that pops up scares you, you shoot it to death, you don't need to be a cop. You need to stay in the office or something. Like, I don't know.
Shout out to the creaky microphone. I think something that I would discuss with a police chief, if I was to talk to one, would be, how do we get both of our respective parties home safely to their families? You understand that in the police force, you have this sense of camaraderie, and, you know, they're always going to be loyal to their officers, because at the end of the day, they have personal relationships with these people. And for some of them, it's this either you or me mentality. And if I get to go home and see my kids, then so be it, you know. And I'm sure they feel terrible about it, or at least some of them do. But you know, it's something that we need to fix, because it's, in my opinion, I think it's a vicious cycle, because cop goes and, let's say, has a shooting, kills an unarmed person. That breeds distrust in the police force in the neighborhood, and some people might take that and become militant with it, or just be overall distrusting of the cops, leading to a kind of more hostile climate between the two. And it doesn't really, historically, it's not a good mixture. You know, while there are some officers that are being killed due to gun violence, so far for 2018, 77 officers have been shot and killed, but the subjects in those same situations, over 687 suspects or subjects have been shot or killed in this year, and it's only been 4 months. And I think it's out of control, out of hand, and it's something that needs to be fixed, and something that I think education will play a big part of. You know, educating the officers on their, not only the people in their neighborhoods, but, you know, trying to understand the neighborhoods where they come from, and how things work. Therefore, they can maybe diffuse situations better and have a better understanding.
I guess one more thing to add that I just thought about would just be, hold your officers accountable, you know? Treat them like they're any other person that has committed a crime. Don't give them special treatment. They shouldn't get to, you know, get off for something just because they're a cop. I just say, hold your people accountable, because at the end of the day, if they're not held accountable, it doesn't make, you know, your police force look better. It makes it look worse. People are gonna even further distrust police and, you know, all that. So,
kind of going off what Deja and Xavier said, I think if I were to talk to a police chief, I would just ask them, when they are recruiting these police officers, how do they know that their true intention is to protect their community? how do we know for sure that they understand their full responsibility of protecting the citizens and not causing more harm to them? Because I definitely think with all the police brutality that's been happening, minorities feel that the police are more of a threat than they are a safety measure. Normally, I don't know for everyone, but my thought process is that we do not get treated as well by police than by compared to white people. We are seen as a target. We are seen as a threat to society, and I don't think that should be the mindset. I think police should be able to really see us as people and be able to protect us like they protect everyone else. So that's my thought process. The next question that I have for you guys is, what would you suggest be done at the national level, policy-wise?
I think it's something that we've all kind of touched on. You know, with the guns, we need to limit the type of guns that are allowed to be on the streets. It's been said before. I mean, there's no reason you should need an assault rifle to go hunting or to have for personal protection. Last time I checked, there's not going to be a zombie apocalypse or anything coming soon that, you know, would need you to have such a violent weapon. I mean, its sole purpose is to kill, you know, effectively and efficiently. And as far as the people behind the guns, I think, you know, it's things that we've all said: stricter background checks, psych evaluations, you know, possibly taking longer to clear the guns, like, you know, purchasing period. I don't know how that works, but maybe having it take longer and having more steps in the vetting process and seeing if you're right for a gun or not. And also just kind of training, this goes for whether you're a gun owner or not, just training people in our society to get rid of these stereotype threats and these identity threats and these negative thoughts about different people. You know, if we were able to shed that, then I think we'd be able to learn a lot from each other's identity. You know, BSU could take something from Latinos Unidos, for example, and vice versa. And that works for all different sorts of classes, political affiliations, genders, sexual orientations. I mean, you name it. If we quit cutting ourselves off to only a certain amount of people, I think we'll be able to understand more people and less conflicts will happen as a result. But maybe that's just being idealistic.
I completely agree with that. On a national level, once again, I think we should vote. We should take our time to vote up the age to buy a gun from 18 to 21, make sure the person's mature, run more background checks, make sure the person is mentally stable. And yeah, I completely agree with what you just said.
Another thing I would add is holding a certain, special interest group accountable. And it's the National Rifle Association. I feel like any time something gets brought up about gun control or we need more gun regulation, they're usually the first in line to block it. And they have a lot of money and a lot of power and a lot of influence, and they're able to pass things that benefit them and block things that don't fit their agenda. And if the political candidates do not support their ideas, then they'll just fund somebody that will oppose them and get their person in the House. And I think it's honestly quite sad that all these people are dying and lives are being lost to gun violence, and they don't even care to see the other side. Kind of going back to what I said, like, they're so narrow in their side and they only see their identities, that they don't care about what the other side may be feeling or things of that nature.
I think for any changes that are going to be made, they have to be very well thought about and calculated, because I think in some aspects, like some things that people might think are a good thing might turn out to be worse. I mean, none of the suggestions are bad. All the suggestions are good. But I'm saying any change that is made needs to be good and beneficial across the board. I think that for people that want guns for hunting, make hunting ranges. That sounds bad, but if you're going to hunt, do it safely. Do it somewhere where after you're done hunting, you turn in your gun. Do it where you don't have to, you know, take your shotgun home with you. If you are going to buy a gun, like a handgun or something, to protect yourself in your home, make it mandatory to be bought with a safe or something. I don't know. Put trackers on the guns and see how far away it is from the safe, to make sure you're not just using it for recreational use. Maybe put a law on the things that you have when you're out in society, able to protect yourself. Like, I think pepper spray, you don't have to be close range to use that on somebody. It sprays pretty far. A taser, I know they have the ones that shoot out, but I'm not gonna, I guess if I tase you enough, I could, but I'm not gonna kill you initially by, shooting my taser at you if I feel threatened, things like that. Just maybe finding ways around certain things, like all the things that people are gonna say, well, this is why I need a gun. Let them know, well, you can have your gun and do this, but you don't need to have it to do this.
Kind of going off of that, my friend Jasmine, shout out to you, Jasmine, if you're watching or listening, she had the idea that guns should be sort of regulated, like Deja said, where there's a special building that has the guns. People could be able to check out a gun for a certain amount of time for hunting or whatever the reason be, and they should be able to return the gun back after a certain amount of time. And like Deja said, there should be trackers on the guns if something like that were to actually come about. And Jasmine had the awesome idea of that if a gun came within like 50 feet or 50 meters from a school, then the police will automatically be contacted. And I thought that was a really cool idea. It was quite smart. So the next question, this has kind of been a debate that's been happening for a while, but do you guys think that there's a link between gun violence and violent video games?
Yes. I think that's a no-brainer. Some behaviors like that are learned, and if all you see is, oh, I'm going to run over this lady and shoot this guy, do whatever I want, of course you're going to grow up thinking, oh yeah, that's okay. I had a friend, sorry friend, if you know who you are and you're listening, her little brother, all he played was Grand Theft Auto, and he was sexist and racist and violent by the time he was about 8. So I think, they put ratings on the games, but I mean, seriously, like, crack down on that. But I think that's a direct link. I mean, if you ever taken any, psych classes, and the Bobo doll experiment, violent behavior is learned, and if that's all you see, that's what you're gonna do. It's just human, I guess.
I completely disagree with you guys on this. I'm a nerd. I love playing video games. I've played video games my whole life. My dad, he loves mature video games, and so yeah, obviously when I was younger I used to play mature video games, all the shooting games and stuff. But honestly, I think it has to do
with the way you are raised, because shout out to my dad, you raised me right. And I'm not violent. I would never, you know, do that because of video games. I don't think I was influenced by video games to do that. I definitely think it's how you are raised. That's just my personal opinion.
I'm gonna have to go with Latinos Unidos on this one. I agree with both of you, in the sense that if it goes unchecked, these violent video games and violent, movies and things that glamorize violence and sex and things of that nature, I think if they go unchecked, that could be dangerous, and very kind of molding of a young person's mind, and can almost kind of warp their mind. I know that's certainly the case, with it's like a study about like children that watch adult films at like a young age, and how that warps their mind and makes them more likely to be sexual predators and stuff like that. And I think that kind of is the same with these violent video games. I think if you're not raised the right way and you do not have a true concept of what's real and what's not, and kind of understanding that, hey, this is just a video game. This begins and ends here on this console. Nowhere else. It shouldn't be translated to anything else. I wasn't even allowed to play those shooting games until I reached a certain age, because they felt that I was mature enough to be able to handle that and understand that, hey, you know, this violent behavior is not real. I don't want you behaving in a violent manner towards your fellow classmates or stuff like that.
I'm kind of on the fence on the subject. I do think that violent video games could actually influence people to have that kind of violent mentality. But violent video games are pretty much available everywhere. In countries where guns are not allowed for normal people, normal citizens, they're gun violence rate isn't as high as the United States. The United States gun violence rate is actually extremely higher than other countries. So, although I do think video games could influence violent behavior, I don't think that's the main reason why people are becoming more violent.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Don't get me wrong. I think the parenting and everything is important. But asking, is there a link? I think there is a link between the games and violent behavior, but I don't think that's the main cause or the main reason. I mean, you know, don't stick your kid in front of a game and let the game raise him, or, you know, let the TV raise him or something. But yeah, I think the stats are true, saying that the U.S., their gun violence is a lot higher than other countries. So I agree with both parties. I guess I'll correct myself. But as far as there being a link, I think there's a link, but like Kennedy said, I don't think that's like the main reason why.
Yeah, going off of that, I mean, I've never heard of when they reveal who the shooter is, it's not like they say it was because of video games.
Yeah.
But it really just comes down to nature versus nurture. Yeah, it's within our human nature to act violently, but it also goes with nurturing, and I think it really comes down to the way that you're raised and the amount of time that you play the games. I think, you know, with Grand Theft Auto, it can be funny, you know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm gonna just run over this old lady or something like that. And you see, like, everyone's starting to laugh. See, like, it's ridiculous, but if you see that on the street, you're gonna be like, oh my gosh.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. You have to just be old enough to deal with it. You have to be mature enough to separate, you know, fake and real from each other.
Right.
Yeah. You guys all had some pretty good points on that. Props to you guys. This next question is kind of a complicated one, but why do you guys think all of the mass shootings that has happened in history have been done by males?
Ooh. Let y'all take that one first.
I don't know.
From my point of view, I can't speak because I am a female. But I guess you can go back to the biological aspect of it all, whereas men may seem more aggressive than women, but I'm not saying that women don't commit violent acts either. But I think what's crazy to think about, in my biology class, there's this thing called the XYY theory, and what it is that a male can receive an extra Y chromosome, and what that is, they call it the killer chromosome, and it's because it increases the amount of testosterone within a male, causes them to act more aggressively. And if you look a lot in the PRISM systems, they actually got a sample of some of their DNA, and a lot of them have an extra Y chromosome. And I think it's crazy to think about, because there's a biological reason on the reason why they acted that way. And then we could talk more about the prison system and more of like, why couldn't they put them in mental hospitals or something like that. But that's an interesting question. Why is it mostly males?
That is an interesting question. And back to what Gabby was saying, nature versus nurture. I took a psychology class last semester, and correct me if I'm wrong, but they did say that men were more aggressive in, you know, in their manners. But it does come down to nurture as well, because I could never imagine my two younger brothers committing such crimes. No, there's no way they would ever do that. Like, they were raised right. They know better, you know.
I think maybe thinking about the psychology of things, the way that men are conditioned not to really deal with their feelings or emotions, and they might suffer more from like mental illness than they might think or might want to show. Not to say that that's like the main reason, but I mean, maybe that is some of it. Maybe the way that, you know, just going, you know, as far back as we can in society, men being more dominant, like being in control of things. I don't know if that might have anything to do with anything. But yeah, that's a hard question. I don't know. I would just, I don't know.
Male?
Yeah,
male. Any comments?
As the resident male, I dare say.
No, to be honest, I never really thought about that, but I think it's interesting to hear all of your takes on it as to possible reasons why. I guess the one that stuck out to me was the whole XYY theory, and how a lot of the male inmates carried that trait that tended to make them more aggressive and things like that. But I think it also psychologically kind of ties into, men are made to kind of project this image of, we're big, we're strong, we're the alpha male, we don't show our feelings, we're tough, we're strong, you know, we're not weak, you know, emotions are seen as weakness, and I think that kind of hinders the development of emotional intelligence for some people, and they might, you know, suffer because of that. And I think it's a tough question, because I don't think there's only set one thing that I could say, this is the answer to that. Yeah.
Well, I just have one final question for all of you guys. Do you guys think that guns should be outlawed altogether? Should police just have them and not citizens? What do you guys think about that?
Um,
while the idea of not having any guns whatsoever sounds nice, in my opinion, it's just not realistic. I don't think we're really ever going to get to a point, at least in my lifetime, where we have absolutely no guns on the streets. One, because as long as there's money to be made off the firearms, there's always going to be a business for it. And if there's a business for it, one thing that seems to happen in America is that, you know, we don't like shutting down business or anything like that, no matter how ethical or unethical it is. Now, do I believe that we can regulate them? I do. I believe there's some steps that are being made right now, and the big thing about it is we need to keep that pressure on the government and policymakers to make change, and not just to appease us for a couple months and then just go right back to same old, same old. We need some strong, everlasting change, and I think that begins with more gun regulation. I think that's a more attainable goal, as opposed to having no guns. It's just having stricter gun regulation.
Yeah, going off of that, I think we can look back at our history, and I think I'm going to compare it to the Prohibition and how it was illegal to have alcohol here in America. But, you know, like Xavier said, as long as there's money to be made off of it, I feel like it's going to be continued to be distributed illegally. You know, you hear about the speakeasies and, you know, all of the gangs, you know, Al Capone, all of that. And I feel like, you know, if there wasn't any guns, I feel like they would still be distributed illegally. But I mean, look at us now. I mean, we regulated it. They upped the drinking age up to 21, and they do enforce that. I remember I watched a video on how this kid couldn't buy alcohol, but he was able to buy a gun more easily than buying alcohol. And I think going back on that, exercising your right to vote and voting for your local officials that stand for what you want, speaking up, and most especially, you know, educating yourself and the people around you, because, you know, at the end of the day, knowledge is power, and providing those resources for those people who do feel lonely and feel like the only way they can act out is through violence. And I think thinking about how the shooters are males, there's, you know, that standard to repress your emotions and your feelings and act like you're tough, you know, to not be able to cry. And I think that's sad, because crying was our first language, and I don't understand why that's so a shame to do it now.
When you mentioned the no guns at all, it reminded me of a story my friend told me. Her name was Nina. Her mother is from Germany, and when she was a teenager, she was coming to the States, United States. Her family told her, be careful, Americans have guns, because she told me that in Germany, they don't have guns, like, it's unheard of, like, this isn't a debate they're having in Germany. So she came over here, her first time in the United States. She was completely afraid, because we have that stereotype of, oh my gosh, we have guns. Oh my gosh, we have all these shootings. Be careful when you go to the United States. And that's just something to think about. That's really sad that we have that stereotype. Personally, I don't think that we can ever not have guns. Like, this is a huge debate. Regulations, we need to up them up, I think, as well as the age to buy a gun. Like Gabby mentioned, that's crazy to think that you can buy a gun more easily than you can buy alcohol.
Yeah, I think in a perfect world, having, you know, no guns would be, you know, cool if our police weren't threatened and the military wasn't, like, corrupt in some sort of sense. I think if people weren't, like, power hungry, maybe that would, you know, seem to be okay. But I think just where we live in this day and age, I don't think that that's, like, feasible. And like they've mentioned, that it's kind of a money grab too, like, guns are a business for some people, and it's kind of like drugs, you know, if there's money to be made, I'm not gonna stop selling it just because, like, it's bad stuff is happening because of it. I mean, it's true. I mean, I don't like drugs, don't do drugs, and don't buy guns, you know, but yeah, I don't know, that's scary. That's a scary thought, thinking if only police and only military had guns. I think I'd be kind of afraid, you know. Not that the people that have guns are, like, you know, much better, like, oh yeah, we're gonna protect you, but I don't feel like I just wouldn't feel protected. I don't know, nowhere safe.
I actually agree with Xavier. I think that guns shouldn't be outlawed altogether. I really feel as though they should be strongly regulated. Emphasis on strongly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, kind of going off what Gabby and Laura said, young people shouldn't be able to buy a gun more easily than they buy alcohol, because obviously guns do more damage than alcohol does. I'm pretty sure. Don't quote me on that. But, yeah, not everyone should have a gun, but I think the right people should have a gun too. So, yeah. Thank you guys for coming out and answering these questions for me.
Woo!
Woo, Latinos Unidos!
BSU, baby.
Thank you for everybody that's stayed so long for this podcast. Appreciate all of you. That one person watching, we appreciate you. All hour and 5 minutes of it.
And thanks for having Latinos Unidos come. Thanks for the invite.
Well, that'll do it for the special presentation here on radio.dominican.edu 102.3 FM. We thank you for staying up with us. We'll see you, well, next time.
We do this almost every night, could never quit.
Yeah.
I just did some Molly for that. I'm hyphy and I'm drunk, I'm doing hell. After I drain my pockets, I